So does God call women into ministry today? What about senior pastors? Does God call women to be senior pastors? If so, have things changed since the days of Paul?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are going to have quite a wonderful broadcast today on The Line of Fire, and we'll give Andrew a good workout as he screens calls today. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're focusing on women in ministry. We constantly get questions about this. I understand why. I understand the scriptural issues. I understand the practical issues. In no way whatsoever am I demeaning the importance of the question. In fact, we have devoted whole broadcasts to this subject in years past. And I knew when I had my guest Naomi Dowdy on yesterday and asked her to share her own story and testimony and give her response to questions about what the scriptures said about women in ministry, I knew that would provoke a lot of controversy. Now, she was happy to address all the controversies, but I only took a couple of calls raising questions because there was a lot she had to share, and I wanted her to share it. I wanted you to hear it. I want to give you my perspective where I'm in harmony with what she shared and where I have a different perspective on what she shared. I want to give you an opportunity to share openly your views on women in ministry, but I want to ask you only to call if you actually believe the Bible is God's word and you're a follower of Jesus. In other words, if you don't even believe the Bible is true, if you don't know if God exists, there are plenty of other days to call, but today would not be the right day. This is an in-house discussion, 866-348-7884. Does the Bible clearly prohibit women from being in ministry or specifically being in leadership roles? Or more specifically, being in senior governmental leadership roles like senior pastor? Does the Bible expressly forbid that? Was that something that was more relevant to the culture then? And the Bible gives us principles that would help us to see that women can be in senior leadership today. Are there general patterns and then some exceptions? Are women more prone to deception than men? And that's why they shouldn't be in leadership. Are women the weaker vessels, not just physically, that your average man is stronger than your average woman, that the strongest male athlete is stronger than the strongest female athlete, but also spiritually? Are they somehow weaker? What about the fact that you've had like Mary Baker Eddy and people like that responsible for starting cults? Does that indicate women are more prone to deception, or does it point in the opposite direction? Because there are only a few of them, and there are a lot more men who have started false religions and cults. Is there a difference between the home and the church? In other words, Naomi Dowdy said, at home, the husband's the head of the home. When you go into church to minister, God can use either way because it's not about gender. It's about the Holy Spirit working through someone, and there's neither male nor female in Jesus. Was it that things were different in biblical days, in Paul's day, and women were not educated and taught in the scriptures, because of which they were more prone to deception and therefore should not have ruling authority? Or are there examples of maybe female apostles or teachers in the New Testament? And if we say things have changed, what about the argument from others, even from gay activists and, quote, gay Christians, who will say, yeah, it's a misinterpretation of scripture. That's the real issue. The Bible was never really against these things. The Bible was not against two men or two women loving each other in a monogamous relationship. It's other things the Bible was addressing. So just as we've changed our views on women, we change our views on sexuality. What do you think? 866-348-7884. Or join in the very lively discussion already taking place on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. We come back, I'm going to lay out my views and then open up the phones. Now's the time to get in line to talk on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. 866-348-7884. The ever-important, ever-controversial question of women in ministry. My guest, Naomi Dowdy, mentioned something which many others have mentioned, which is that there are denominations that will send women out to be missionaries. So these women are under authority. The question of being under authority was not in dispute yesterday. We are all, in one way or another, to be under authority and in submission. But she said it's ironic that some denominations would send out women to be single women missionaries. These were courageous pioneers. These were women who were risking their lives for the gospel. These were women who had to have backbones of steel to overcome all the obstacles set before them, and they would pioneer works, and they would lead people to Jesus, both men and women, and disciple them and plant churches. And then when they came back home to their home base, and to their home churches, they were not allowed to preach or teach. They could just share stories from the mission field. You think, that's odd. That's odd. Now, I mentioned the success of the ministry that Naomi Dowdy planted in Singapore, about 7,000 members in a church today. And someone rightly said, well, success of a ministry doesn't prove the rightness of a calling. Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I fully agree. In fact, Andrew, a yes or a no is good. All right? That's fine if we can get that. Just trying to help our process here with those that want to get in the discussion. Okay. Sorry about that side talk there. All right. If you want to say, look, so-and-so has a big ministry, so-and-so is reaching a lot of people, so-and-so sells a lot of books, does that in itself prove the message is right, prove the person is right? Absolutely not. There are frauds out there. There are people out there who are charlatans. There are people out there who just have a popular product, etc. So that success in and of itself doesn't prove that the ministry is true or real. But if you are producing Christ-like fruit, in other words, if people devoted to the Lord, devoted to the Word, living holy lives, genuine disciples, bearing fruit for the kingdom, if that's what's being produced consistently year in, year out, well, the devil doesn't fight against himself. Satan's kingdom can't be divided, and flesh can't produce spirit. So that would cause me to look at something very seriously. You say, yeah, what about these other churches like cults and false religions or the gay churches? They claim to be producing fruit. Oh, they will not produce genuine, holy, living, biblical disciples glorifying Jesus, following the Word. See, that would be the difference. But still, I'm a Word person. I am a Word person. I absolutely live and die by what Scripture says. And if I am not convinced that a stand I am taking is in harmony with Scripture or back with Scripture as God has revealed himself there, then I can't take it. I can't take that stand. I am absolutely a Word-based person. So this is my view based on Scripture. I'll expand on it more over the next 2 hours, all right? Whatever part of the broadcast you catch, great. Whatever you miss, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and catch the rest of it later today, archived online. Here's my basic view, that the way God has structured men and women, headship, governmental headship, is primarily male. That's why man is the head of the home. That's why in mutuality, the wife in submission to the husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. So in a mutual heart joined together to do the will of God, that there is wonderful complementarity, there is wonderful yielding one to another, and yet the final burden, the final weight of things will come to the man as a general rule, and that tends to be the way most of us are wired. In other words, the majority of women that I know are glad if they have a godly husband for the husband to bear the brunt of the responsibilities being the head of the home. And yet, if you put the man in the woman's shoes and asked him to carry what she carried in a day, most of us would collapse. Most of us couldn't do it. Okay? So it's not a matter of who's bigger, better. It's a matter of just calling function. I believe that's also the general pattern within the church in terms of senior leadership is primarily given to men. All right? Now, having said that, I believe women can be used by God in all kinds of gifted ministry and preaching and teaching. I'll come to controversial passages in a moment. In all types of gifted ministry, and at some times, like Deborah, they are raised up to senior governmental leadership. And you have the pattern of a Proverbs 31 woman who basically runs the house so her husband can be at the city gate acting wisely, okay? And she's buying a field and she's planting, she's doing this, and she's hailed for that. She's praised for that within Scripture in a culture that was tremendously patriarchal. So in that sense, there is much in Scripture that's very progressive against the norm of the day, but not progressive in a worldly sense. So I fully recognize that God could call someone like Naomi Doughty and use her powerfully. I have no issue with that, and I don't see the Scriptures forbidding that. I don't see it as the general pattern. She would say, hey, it can be either way because there's neither male nor female. I would say it's not the general pattern, both in Scripture and experientially. However, by nature, I don't think that a woman, by nature, is more prone to deception than a man. By nature, there's a lively discussion taking place on that right now on Facebook. And you can join in on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown on Facebook. So I want to hear from you, and I just want to encourage you as you come on the air to be as concise as you can. I don't mean you can't quote Scripture, make your point, but so we can hear your point and interact with it, I'm going to ask you to be as concise as you can, to the point. Also, I may ask you a follow-up question, or I may just say, great, listeners, you heard what one of our listeners said, and go on to the next. So don't expect me, friends, to be commenting on every call or challenging every caller or seeking to correct things all the time. I want this to be argued out and discussed among you as listeners, and I will weigh in from time to time. All right? Let's start with Vern in Montgomery County, Maryland. What's your take on women in ministry or women in senior leadership?
Well, first of all, I thank you for giving me this opportunity. But the bottom line is I believe in the Bible, too. And what you just said as your position pretty much coincides with mine. It's not an issue of who knows more, who's wiser. It's what God wants. God did not set up the world as a democracy. And there is a headship. And people think that being a pastor is the most important element of religion. But that's not necessarily true. It's who is bringing people to Christ. You know, I don't care if you have 7,000 members. How many are being baptized in Jesus' name? How many are receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues? That would determine who's in line with God. And I just like to say in 1 Timothy, it specifically says in chapter 2 and 12, but I prevent not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Also, the next chapter, it talks about the qualifications of bishop, elders, and deacons, which are really synonymous for the church leaders.
And just to jump in, Vern, in those that are listed, it mentions it's presupposing it's men because it says has to be married to one woman. Now, of course, a question would come up in 1 Timothy 3. Where it talks about deacons, there are references to deaconesses. Is that the deacon's wife? Or, for example, Romans 16, Paul mentions a woman specifically and calls her a deaconess. Or is that okay, being a deaconess versus being a senior pastor leader? But Vern, I just want to reemphasize one point. Winning people to Jesus, being a soul winner, being a disciple maker is as high on the list of any as possible calling, and everyone could do that. So even if our position was that women are not called to be, quote, senior pastor, so what? You say, but God has called me to be a senior pastor and I'm a woman. What then do I do? Okay, Adrian, Linda, Josh, James, you folks are all next, right on the other side of the break. Let us be people of the Word. Let us do our best to conform our beliefs and our theology to what Scripture says, rather than try to conform Scripture to what we feel or think or experience. The one thing we do know is that human beings are prone to deception. And throughout the Bible, there are warnings to men about being deceived and warnings to women about being deceived. And often men led the way in deception. Is it not true? We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we talk about women in ministry. Listen, tomorrow we've got some special guests that are going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about the bullying of conservative believers. There's bullying right now going on with the Boy Scouts. If you're not aware of it, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and I just put in a comment, the first comment for today, with relevant info on what's up with the Boy Scouts and a number to call after you read a relevant article that is linked for you there. 866-348-7884. Adrian in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today? This is my first time calling, and I love your show.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We're hoping to get down into Houston in the next few months for some meetings there, so stay tuned.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I am a pastor also. I enjoy this show so much, I will continue to listen. I was just passing on the FM dial. But
great.
Anyway, why I call is this topic has been hotly, I guess, that debated on both ends. But I, after looking at the Bible, yes, the pattern that God uses is always male take the lead first. God always expects the man to take charge. In different situations, as you mentioned, with Deborah, if there is no man that steps up to the plate, God would use a woman. I'm not from this country. I'm from the Caribbean, and I've seen different moves of God by women. God using women as leaders, as apostles, as pastors, teaching the body where men were not able to lead a flock. Now, the last caller, quoting something from 1 Timothy, a lot of people quote stuff from the Bible, but they do not quote it in context. When Paul delivered that message, we have to look at the Word of God from the Jewish culture or the Jewish mindset. Women were not even allowed to go into the place of worship with the men. And then when we get to the New Testament, women would shout from one side of the church over to the next side. And that's what it was. Paul was saying, not to even let women talk in the church. Men, you explain the Word of God at home to your wives. That does not. So that scripture does not limit women from preaching or even teaching in the church.
Just to jump in, Adrian, only because we're flooded with calls, and I want to get to as many as possible. But thanks, sir, for sharing that with me, and again for the kind words. Let me just read the text in question here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, all right? And we'll discuss this at more length through the broadcast. But again, sir, thank you for weighing in. So here Paul writes to Timothy, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." So some would say, yeah, but that was in that day. Women were not trained. They were not taught. They didn't have access to the Word, the Scriptures. And because of that, only naturally, you're going to tell them, yeah, just you sit and be quiet. All right. I can understand that. But then he says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she'll be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control, which I take to mean she'll be kept safe through the process of childbearing. In other words, don't go back to Genesis 3 and think, oh, no, I'm cursed. And he's saying, no, you'll be kept safe through it. That passage as well is a debatable passage, 1 Timothy 2:15. But the argument would be, Paul is saying by nature, Adam formed first, then Eve. Adam wasn't deceived, but the woman was deceived, became a transgressor. Therefore, women shouldn't teach. And does that mean that women would mislead men? Others would say, but hang on. Elsewhere in Scripture, like Romans 5, it's clear Adam fell, Adam sinned, Adam was responsible. He was there with the serpent and the woman, which is, seems to be implied in Genesis 3, and he sinned them with his eyes wide open. And you know, it was Judas who betrayed Jesus and so on. So, and there were famous false prophets who were male in the Bible who were deceived. So maybe Paul's just saying, hey, I want to give you an instance of a woman being deceived, and that's why I'm saying women shouldn't teach, without necessarily saying that by nature from creation that was the case. These are some of the arguments that are raised. Josh in Houston, stay in Houston for a moment. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for having me. I was actually just about to make the same point that you made, which is the reference in Timothy points back to creation. So the order of things is that God created men and men and women differently with different roles, and that men are to be responsible and to take on the leadership role and the pastoral role, the discipleship role, things of that nature. And you basically made that point, so I just wanted to add that because I hadn't heard you say it until just now.
Yeah, and Josh, just a question for you then. Do you believe, generally speaking, by nature, women are more prone to being deceived than men?
I hadn't really spent too much time thinking about that until you posed the question earlier, but I don't think so. I mean, human nature is human nature, whether it's male or female.
Got it.
And we're all suspect to deception, but I just think in terms of pastoral roles, that's the order of creation. And
got it. So it wouldn't so much be the nature of man versus woman, but simply the order and the way God established it then.
That's exactly right.
Got it. Hey, Josh, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Some of you are thinking, I got to go in like 3 minutes. Don't worry about it. Catch the whole broadcast, all 2 hours of the discussion. Ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You can catch that later today. All right. I want to encourage you to dig into the Word, to be students of the Word, to be men and women who revere the Word. I love to study the Word. I love to dig, and I'm submitted to it as best as I understand. In other words, if that's what it says, all right, bite the bullet and accept it, wrestle it through and understand it and recognize God's ways are best. We have partnered with Logos Bible Software, the number one rated Bible software in the world now, with over 27,000 e-books and Bible programs. And the other day I was talking to a colleague and he asked about a question, Romans 11:18, and clicked on my software, Romans 11:18, and because I wasn't by my commentaries at my office, grabbed commentary after commentary after commentary, relevant info, cut and paste within minutes. I had sent him more material than he could use in a month probably. We've partnered with Logos. If you get any of their Bible-based packages, you get 15% off of the package. And any order of any size, we also get 15% commission from Logos, which goes directly into helping us pay for these radio bills. So call right now, 1-800-875-6467 to order. And mention Line of Fire when you call. All right, got to mention that. 1-800-875-6467. You'll be calling Logos directly. 1-800-875-6467. Mention the Line of Fire or just go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and then click on the online bookstore and you'll see the special offer. Women in ministry, what does the Word of God say?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Last night, I wrote an article on hardness of heart in the celebration of abortion. It's a bit of a shocking article, a real eye-opener. Some quotes from a feminist leader almost 20 years ago that will shock you. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on the line of fire. And there you will find a link to my latest article. Our focus, our topic today, the question of women in ministry, 866-348-7884. Does God raise up women like Deborah as national leaders, as governmental leaders from time to time? Is that something he did then, but he'll never do again? Is that something that could happen all the time if we were open to it? When Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 that women should learn in quietness and submission, was it because women by nature are more prone to deception, or because women at that time did not have access to teaching? This was something new where they would be incorporated in teaching and training. What do we do with a passage, like Acts chapter 18? Acts chapter 18, and it's talking about Apollos there, all right? And it says that he was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. This is Acts 18, verse 25. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And interestingly, whenever they're mentioned in Scripture, her name is put forth, Priscilla or Prissa, looks like Prisca, Prissa or Priscilla and Aquila. Her name is put first whenever they are mentioned together, the few times they are in Scripture. But it says that they took him and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Paul says in Romans 16:3, greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their necks for my life. But he recognizes them as fellow workers, puts her name first, mentions others like Mary and Miriam in Romans 16. And some would say, mentions a female apostle. There's debate on this in Romans 16. Seems clear he's speaking of a woman. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they are in Christ before me. Or they are well known among the apostles, meaning Junia herself was an apostle, not like the 12, but there were many others in the New Testament referred to as apostles, people sent, emissaries from the Lord. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16:19. Let's just see there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Aquila is mentioned first there. So that's the one time. All the other times in Acts 18, Romans 16, and 2 Timothy 4:19, her name is mentioned first. Does that mean anything? Should we read anything into that? And then just another question for you, then we're going to go back to the phones, which are melting here. Another question. If it's wrong for a woman to teach a man, right? That would be a universal reading from 1 Timothy 2. Paul does not permit a woman to teach a man. Then is it right for you as a man to ever read a book by a woman? Would you read a commentary written by a woman? If there was a woman who had some tremendous spiritual insight, maybe she had been imprisoned for her faith and was a deep woman of God with great revelation, insight about the Lord, would you allow her to teach you by reading the book? Or would you only read the book if she was submitted to her husband? Again, my view that the general pattern of senior governmental leadership is male. However, women are released to do all kinds of ministry work and sometimes are raised up to senior governmental positions as Deborah, although it's not the normal pattern. Back with your calls right after the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're going to go straight to the phones to get your response, your input on this question of women in ministry. We'll go to Linda in Atlanta, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on this topic. I received Christ in a denomination that is firmly against women preachers. So I was biased for years about it. And whenever I visited to churches where a woman was asked to speak, I would sit there the whole time praying, God, please put things in divine order here, you know, that kind of thing. But uh-huh. The Lord revealed, I prayed and God revealed to me that in that scripture where it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, where Paul says, I, meaning himself, suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over men. This was his attitude about it, you know. And during that day of time in history, women weren't even allowed to walk down the street, I think, without a man walking with her. She had to be covered, just like we see the women on the television who are under the Taliban authority. So during that time, women weren't, you know, in that culture, free to walk with Jesus. One woman told me, she said, well, Jesus picked only men when he picked 12 disciples. Jesus was wise. That was the culture of that time, that only men were free to move about. But there's nowhere in the Bible that God says that he doesn't choose to use a woman. This thing comes by revelation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 17 that he prayed that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be upon the people of God. So I just wanted to, you know, to share that with you, that God brought me to the understanding of it through the Holy Ghost revealing to me.
All right.
You know, that Paul was speaking his own preference. He said,
right. Hey, Linda,
I
appreciate that. And I think you meant Ephesians 1 when you mentioned the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is something we should all pray for ourselves. With all respect to as you prayed and studied, there are many times in the New Testament where Paul will say, I'm telling you this, I'm giving you this word, and he was speaking with apostolic authority. At the same time, without question, the culture then was different than culture now, today, and that must be raised if it is relevant. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. In other words, the objection that Paul said, I don't allow this, it's my own opinion or my own feeling. You could argue that. You have to look, though, and say, okay, why is he writing this then? Why is this part of Scripture? And then, more importantly, are there other instances in Scripture, other instances in the New Testament where Paul is giving his commands, but then saying, hey, I'm speaking with the authority of the Lord when I do this? I'm going to go back to the phones in one moment, but there's a fabulous book, if you want to dig deep, William Webb, W-E-B-B. It's called Slaves, Women, and Homosexuals. I mean, it's not like an unbelievably hard book to read, but it's a serious argumentation that you've got to give yourself to, all right? Slaves, Women, and Homosexuals, Exploring the Hermeneutics of Cultural Analysis. In other words, he wants to look at Scripture based on these questions. If people wrongly use the Bible, say, to support the American slave trade, the horror of the American slave trade, and people wrongly use Scripture to support that because of Old Testament teaching, New Testament teaching about slavery, and if people wrongly use the Bible to oppress and suppress women so that they had almost no outlet in society, you know, couldn't vote and other things like that. Saudi Arabia, women can't drive a car. So back in the Christian world, if the Bible was wrongly used to suppress or oppress women, are we also wrongly using the Bible to oppress or suppress homosexual men and women? Now, I'm sure some people are using the Bible wrongly to oppress people. But Webb goes through the verses clearly and carefully and says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You cannot make that comparison. I have a whole lecture on that. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? You can watch it for free on my website. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, search for the word prejudice, and you can watch this probably 90-minute lecture absolutely free online. And one of the points is that the Bible never praises slavery, and the slavery system in ancient Israel was totally different from people being kidnapped and sold into slavery from Africa to America. And more than that, the Bible's a book of liberation, and throughout plants seeds of liberation and points to that as the ultimate goal. As for women, the Bible has many wonderful things to say about women and their importance, beginning in Genesis 2, where Eve, the mother of all living, Chava in Hebrew, is an appropriate help, a suitable help, the opposite mirror image to be exactly what the man needs, so together they can accomplish God's will to subdue the earth and rule over it. That's a commission given to male and female. And there's nothing in Scripture that speaks in a derogatory way of a slave or of a woman. Flip that over. The Bible categorically establishes heterosexual relationships as the only God-ordained relationships, and sex within marriage is the only God-ordained sexual behavior. And it categorically speaks against homosexual actions. Not the person that has a desire. The Bible's always dealing with how we act on desires that we have. So you can't possibly make that comparison, even though we might say, yeah, culturally this was understood one way, it's understood differently today. But Scripture makes explicit statements that have nothing to do with culture when it comes to homosexual practice. 866-348-7884. Marcus in Portales, New Mexico. What's your take, sir?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Dr. Brown, when you responded to the last viewer, that there are places where Paul qualifies certain things as being, a word from him as opposed to the Lord. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, he talks about, verse 33, God not being a God of confusion. Then he goes on to talk about, specifically, that women should keep silent in the churches. He goes even further to make it specific to show he's not talking about singing or anything like that. He says it's shameful for a woman to speak in verse 35. And then he gets to verse 37, and he says this is a command of the Lord, and he challenges those who consider themselves to be, I guess, authorities in the congregation to discern by prophecy that what he's telling them is a command of the Lord, and it's not something that Paul is simply making up. And I think that's a distinction to be made from the 1 Timothy passage, where he is talking about a situation where he doesn't allow a woman to teach. So if you're talking about people who are reading books written by women, that may fall under that category of things that Paul might not have suggested would be a good idea, but still might not be absolute prohibitions on Christians. But there are some things that in the corporate worship he says are commands of the Lord, and he doesn't put any kind of cultural qualification on them. And the thing that
right.
concerns...
Yeah, and just jump in, then I'll get back to you.
Go ahead.
Of course... And maybe I wasn't entirely clear on this. What I was saying, though, was even in places where he says, I'm giving you my view, he then says, and my view is the right view. In other words, my view is a command from the Lord. What he's saying is, I don't have this as a command from Jesus. I'm speaking by the authority he gave me. But let me ask you this. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about women prophesying publicly and proper decorum for that. So that's public speaking in the name of the Lord, public speaking as a vessel for the Lord. It seems he's talking about something different in 1 Corinthians 14 about asking questions. You know, that tends to be understood as with the men sitting on one side, the women on the other, and the women not being educated as teaching would be going on. They'd be disrupting the service by calling over to their husbands. Many scholars accept that view. But it does seem that if a woman's anointed to speak and bring a message, 1 Corinthians 11, she can bring that, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking versus a man or a woman speaking.
That's true, but I think you also hit on the distinction back in the first century, and I'm definitely not an expert in what the assemblies were like back then, but I've heard that it doesn't contradict his teachings about a woman not usurping authority over a man or preaching to a man, because those assemblies were separated by men and women. It's much like what we still have today in some conservative congregations where you have a ladies' Bible class. And so in that context, he's saying that if she's speaking in a context where it's permissible, then she should be speaking with her head covered.
Yeah, I would just check 1 Corinthians 11 again, simply because it does speak as if there are men present, just to give you that. But I appreciate you weighing in, Marcus. I appreciate the comments. We got a break coming up, so got to jump in. Hey, listen, everybody that's holding and those who've been on hold, I'm getting back to calls immediately after the break, but I'm continuing this discussion into the next hour. So those of you that can stay on the line, call right now, 866-348-7884. We got a line open. As soon as it fills, just keep calling, and you'll get through. If you can stay on, hang on now, and we'll get to you on the other side of this break, the next break, another break. It'll happen today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, if you have comments, you want to lay things out at some length, best place to do it is AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You can go there. You can lay out comments. You can take several paragraphs and do it, quote lots of scripture, put up a link, and then it's going to stay there. It's not going to move away. You know, Facebook is going to be hard to find discussion. So go there, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, weigh in. If you only got to make part of your point on the air and you have more to say, then by all means, please do continue to join us for the discussion on our website. Women in ministry, yes or no? Yes to some aspects of ministry, no to others. James in Washington, D.C., thanks for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, God bless you, Dr. Brown. Hey, I just recently listened to your message, the Ox Creek. Did I say that right?
Yes, perfectly.
Powerful message. It's a blessing. And I encourage anybody who hasn't gotten it from this ministry to request it. And don't forget to invest in this marvelous ministry.
Well, thank you, sir.
To, praise God. I wanted to make real quick three comments. Number one, if we can search in Scripture, New Testament or an Old Testament, we can see where there's offices of authority or fivefold ministry gifts or anything of that sort where there is a woman operating within that office, I think that it's worth looking into it and investigating where this is something that is sanctioned by God, number one. Number two, I believe that when we look at Paul, and that's why the Scripture says that we need to account that every word be confirmed by two or three witnesses, because I think that we do get Paul's opinion on the matter, formed by culture. Am I saying that Paul is wrong? No, I'm not saying that. This was Paul's preference. We see Paul's preference displayed and articulated many times throughout the epistles. Sometimes, as you see in Acts, bitter disputes took place between him and the disciples because he just flat out disagreed. But the biggest point, and what I usually use in my argument, is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. John's baptism, is it of the spirit of man or the spirit of God? So I've seen people healed by the hands of women. Women prophesy quite accurately, teach sound doctrine. So my question is, their healing, their prophesying, their teaching, is it of the spirit of men or is it the spirit of God? But don't answer that unless you blaspheme the spirit of God.
All right. Hey, James, I appreciate you weighing in with three clear and concise comments, and thanks for the kind words about the ministry. The Acharit message, he mentioned we sent out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those as a gift to our listening audience. So a couple weeks ago, we're getting great reports on those who have listened. All right, our buddy Seiko in Houston, I was on his lively broadcast last week, his internet broadcast. I was pleased to see we got all kinds of calls on that, man. It's glad to have some folks listening online. All right, our time is limited, so go for it, sir. Yeah, please, your views.
Okay, well, thank you for Dr. Brown taking my call. Real quick, I think there is a distinction between Israel and the church. So when I hear people use Deborah as an example, I would not use that as an example because God also used the wall to write on the wall. He also used donkeys or jackasses to speak his word to Balaam.
Right.
I know some people may debate. Then God is still using jackasses today, but that's another story for another time. But I think also, you know, when you deal with the whole issue of women and Paul, Paul did not give an opinion when it came to what God had clearly inspired. And when you read 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. Then 2 Peter 1:20-21, he says, no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, but men filled with the Holy Spirit spoke from God. They were God-breathed, inspired writers that wrote God's word. Do I believe that women are more susceptible to deception than men? I do believe that, not to be sexist or to be chauvinistic. Mm-hmm. But Paul makes it clear, I believe, in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He said that Eve was deceived. And then he also says in 1 Timothy 2:11-14, that the woman being quite deceived. And I believe if you look at you're more of an expert than I am, but it seems like the tense of that verb means that there's a full deception, that Adam went in with his eyes wide open. She was caught, basically, she was just, she was tricked and fooled by the enemy.
Got it. All right, so let me just ask you one question, and I appreciate you weighing in clearly, and obviously you can build a case for these things scripturally. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Right.
He wasn't saying primarily the women could be deceived there. He's saying you, men and women that are getting this letter, could be deceived. So he was referring to how Satan deceived Eve without saying in that verse, we could argue about 1 Timothy 2, but in that verse, he doesn't seem to be saying that women are more prone to deception than men, because he warns both male and female about deception based on the fact that he's just talking historically, the serpent deceived Eve. Last question for you, all right, and then we got to run. Do you think men by nature and calling are more equipped to handle the responsibility and stress and pressure of senior leadership?
I believe that's what God teaches. It's not about what I believe. I think what the scripture teaches is that God has called men to lead his church. He's called qualified, godly men, not just any kind of man, but godly men to lead his church. It does not mean that women cannot teach, but I believe scripture is clear, Dr. Brown, that the women are to teach women. Titus 2 makes it clear. But when it comes to the position of authority directing the body of Christ, the church, they're called shepherds. They're not called shepherdesses. Called shepherds of the flock.
Got it. All right. Hey, listen, I appreciate you weighing in. Wanted to give you a chance before we went off the air on KKHT. God bless you, man.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, we're coming to the end of an hour, but I'm continuing this discussion. So, everybody online, hang in there. I will get to your calls on the other side of the break. Just on a pure research level, just not quoting scripture, a pure research level. William Webb, in his book Slaves, Women, and Homosexuals, says research indicates that ability to detect deception is not linked to gender in any significant way. Women are not any less accurate at detecting deception than men. If anything, women have a slight edge over men. Rather, the ability to detect deception is the result of a combination of factors such as cross-cultural differences, age, experience, socialization, sheltered abroad exposure, intelligence, education, and personality. Just reading that data there. Okay, let me strongly encourage you to dig more in the Word and to take advantage of the incredible software that is now available for people to study and dig, right on their own computers, on their smartphones or tablets. We have an agreement with Logos Bible Software, which is the most widely used, praised Bible software today. Any base package you get from Logos, which gives you a small library or large library to start, you get a 15% discount through us. But any order, you buy an individual ebook, doesn't matter. We get a 15% commission on that order from Logos. So as you're being blessed yourself, they are blessing us. Call right now 1-800-875-6467. 1-800-875-6467 and mention the Line of Fire. That's 1-800-875-6467. Mention the Line of Fire or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on our online bookstore, and then you can click direct on the Logos link and find out more. My bottom line today, I encourage each and every one of you to study the scriptures, to come to your own conclusion about women in ministry, and then to affirm and support and back what God is doing and what he's established in his word. So does God call women into ministry today? What about senior pastors? Does God call women to be senior pastors? If so, have things changed since the days of Paul?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we have just had quite a lively hour with the phone lines buzzing as we have been discussing the issue of women in ministry. If I did a show on that every time we got asked a question about that, or about the Sabbath, or tithing, or once saved, always saved, or pre-trib, or post-trib, if I did a show every time I was asked a question on any of those subjects, all of which are important, I'd say different levels of importance between them, but I'd be doing those shows every day of the week, and that would be about all we do here. However, the question of women in ministry is important. It's been several years since I focused on it in one specific show. The first hour yesterday, I had Naomi Dowdy on with me, a leader in Singapore who pastored for over 30 years and has raised up leaders and is looked to as a leader to leaders. She responded to questions about specific verses in the Bible, most prominently 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And I said, look, we'll discuss this more. We'll take time on the next broadcast, which is today, and we'll hear from you. You can weigh in with yes or no. And the more you can use scripture, the more data we have, the better. So the phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. If you're unable to get through, there are two ways you can join in the discussion. You can join in a real-time discussion, which for the most part is going to be shorter posts and points on my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Or you can go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire. And when you do that, you can weigh in at length. You can write a small book and post it up there if you like, and then folks can come back to it a month later and interact with you. So I encourage you to do that at the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I want to read a passage of Scripture first. And this is not to make a definitive statement about women in ministry. It's not to make a definitive statement about women in leadership, women in senior leadership, women senior pastors or apostles, as the case would be, or bishops. It's not to do that. It's simply to read a passage of Scripture. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, she's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength, makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come, meaning no fear of the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Does that tell us anything about women in leadership? Is that noteworthy that that's found in the Old Testament, which is such a patriarchal culture? Or is it really irrelevant to the question we're asking about women in ministry today? We'll take all that up. I'll give you my own viewpoint when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire as we discuss the question of women in ministry. 866-34-TRUTH. Does God call women to do the same things as men without distinction? Is it true that man is the head of the home, but in the church it's different? Or does the pattern of male leadership continue in the church? Are women free to preach, prophesy, evangelize, do all different types of work, even reach the lost in different parts of the world, but not have senior governmental leadership? Of course, that begs the question of what a woman missionary on the field would do if she led men to the Lord and then they were saved. She'd disciple them. She would, quote, be their pastor. Would she have to make one of the new converts her pastor to be under authority? I mean, how does that work? Did the scriptures explicitly point to creation in the order of creation? Man first, then woman. Woman deceived, not man. To say that women shouldn't teach, or is that a misunderstanding of Paul's point in 1 Timothy chapter 2? Those are the questions we are discussing today. To the phones with, all right, we lost Gyro in North Miami. Some folks have been holding over from the first hour, almost an hour. Let's go to Carlton in Newark, New Jersey. We lost Carlton. All right, that just means their loss is your gain. It means we've got a phone line open. Let's try Eddie. We lost Eddie. Everybody was here just a minute ago. Everybody was here just a minute ago. I guess you just get to that breaking point. You know, it's like I had 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 51, 53. Yeah, everyone was here moments ago, 2 minutes ago. All of these folks that have been holding for almost an hour were there. Then we just, it's sad because they were holding so long and I want to hear what they had to say. But that opens up the door for others. 866-348-7884. Emmanuel in Miami.
Hi, Micah.
Yes, go ahead, sir. You're on the line of fire.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Yeah, I feel that women have a very important role to play because even the scripture says that in the final days, even women shall prophesy. And who's not going to listen to a prophet that God sent?
All right, so, you know, that's a passage, interestingly, that nobody raised in the first hour, but Joel chapter 2, quoted in Acts chapter 2, says in the last days, so that's the time we've been living in since Jesus died and rose from the dead, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, right? This is what Paul, what Peter lays out, quoting from Joel, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. So at the very least, we would have to accept women prophesying. And then Paul explicitly teaches on that in 1 Corinthians 11, just gives the right protocol for it, but allows for women prophesying. So yeah, that's an important text. Certainly at the very least, it's saying that God can speak through women by his Spirit. And if he's speaking, doesn't that mean everyone should listen? So appreciate your raise. I can't believe we went through a whole hour without quoting that verse. Thanks for raising it beginning of the second hour. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Take care.
All right. 866-348-7884. Now, we had a few negatives, a few no's that we lost. Somehow weren't able to hang on the air. We had others in the first hour articulately laying out why they didn't see it, why they didn't see the role of women in terms of senior leadership or pastor leadership in the New Testament as the pattern God raised up. People would point to Deborah. I have in the Old Testament. Some would say, well, that's different. Old Testament's different than New Testament. The argument would go back to say, on the other hand, Old Testament, it was a total exception for a woman to be raised up, and men listened to her, which would mean that it's the gifting and calling of God that makes the difference. Are there examples of women leaders in the New Testament? We know the culture would be one in which women were not educated and taught in the Word. We understand that. We understand the culture in which a woman's role would be more clearly defined than often in today's culture. But does that mean we've just gotten away from biblical culture? I don't mean women shouldn't be taught. But hey, I'm not for women in combat. I'm not for that. I'm not for women on the front lines of combat, as Leon Panetta's announced is now going to happen. I'm not for that. And I believe a mom is much better equipped to be home with the kids than a man. I believe that. I think most of you listening would agree. How does that then play over in the church? And all the men are saying, you bet, amen. You know, just a real quick story, then we're going to go back to the phones. I was talking to one of our grads, he and his wife, ministry school grads from our school when it was in Pensacola. We were here in Concord, North Carolina together. And talking about giftings, and he's entrepreneurial and so on, and sees kind of like home business, and that is a real opportunity for the future and helps support the work that he's going to do on the mission field in the future. And then I said, what about your wife? No, she doesn't have an entrepreneurial bone in the body. And I said, yeah, but how do they do what they do? What does she have, 5 kids? So, you know, homeschool's the oldest, got 3 boys that are in public school, and then at least 1 or 2 younger that are still home but not old enough to homeschool. I said, how do they do what they do? How do these moms do what they do? And he said that his wife has recently started going to the gym, again, working out. And he said she's left the house, and he calls her on the phone, honey, when are you going to be back? She said, I didn't even get to the gym yet. And he's really like, I can't take this. I can't handle all this. So I can have tremendous admiration for a woman. And I have tremendous admiration for my wife, Nancy. And I have tremendous admiration for her discernment and her wisdom and her stability and her faith and her strength. And in terms of raising our kids, I'm 100% sure that she was far more equipped to be home with the kids than I was. And to me, she had the more difficult, challenging job as opposed to me going out and, quote, making a living. The question is, how does that then play out as far as church ministry? My guest yesterday said that in the home, husband's the head of the home, but in the setting of ministry, there's neither male nor female, and therefore God can speak through anyone because it's God speaking and moving, not the person. Others would say, yeah, but we're also made differently and we're built differently. My own view is that the general pattern of senior governmental leadership, which would mean the final one on whom the responsibility comes, so in the home, the husband, in church settings, the lead pastor, a senior elder, that generally speaking, men are more capable of handling that and are more wired to, and that will be the general pattern of male senior leadership. However, women are free to be used in all different types of gifted and anointed ministry and to surpass men in 1,000 different ways in ministry, and sometimes are raised up to senior governmental headship. I just don't see that as the normal pattern. I see God doing it. I see God raising people up as he raised up Deborah. I see him doing it to this day. I don't see it in contradiction with Scripture. I don't see it as the norm. We'll look at some more verses. We've discussed some of the first hour. We'll come back to them in the second hour as well. 866-348-7884. Catherine in Bedford, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? My name is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
I'm not 100% sure about the answer on this, but I'm just wondering. I don't see the spiritual gifts limited. So my thought was, in listening to the program, that if the gifts themselves are not limited, then, I mean, certainly God wouldn't be making a mistake if, for instance, it were a female who, you know, had the gift of preaching or evangelism or teaching. And I'm not an expert in Scripture, so that was just the thought that I had.
Yeah,
I was listening.
So if it's the Holy Spirit doing the work, let's say, for example, would we have any issue with a woman that had a gift of healing and we brought sick people to her for healing, so like a Catherine Coleman or something like that? I don't think any of us that believe healing is for today would have an issue with that. Paul writes about women prophesying in 1 Corinthians 11, and it's clear it's in the presence of men that it's being spoken of. It mentions in the book of Acts that Philip had daughters who were prophetesses. So women being used like that, just like Deborah was a prophetess, no question. The Hebrew Bible speaks of prophetesses as well. the question tends to be, though, Catherine, what about a woman teaching a man? And you might say, well, if she has a gift of teaching, why not? Which would be a fair response. And if she's grounded in the word, why not? And then women in leadership over a man, does that somehow subvert an order that God established? If you say, but it's not the woman that's over the man, we're submitting to God's authority, that'd be another way to look at it. But then what is Paul teaching in 1 Timothy, the second chapter? So we'll continue the discussion, but you raise a very valid and important point. And I want to say again, the Holy Spirit wants to work through every single believer, every single child of God. Without exception, the Holy Spirit wants to work through you if your life is yielded to Him.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friend, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. You say that all the time. Yeah, I am. I'm delighted. I'm thrilled. I enjoy the time. I look forward to the broadcast. I thank God for the opportunity to be on the air live with you. And that's why I got up 2 in the morning in Hong Kong. If you missed those shows, come on, I did it live for you. Taught from 9 to noon, then from 3 to 6 every day. Chinese Pastors, the Book of Jeremiah, Chinese Pastors and Leaders. Then rested till, went to sleep between 9 and 10 in the evening, then got up at 2 in the morning to do the live broadcast, 3 to 5 a.m. Joyfully, it was a privilege. 866-348-7884. What about women in ministry? It's clear from the New Testament that the gifts of the Spirit can operate through women, that women can prophesy. It's clear from the New Testament that women can serve, even the reference to deaconess with a specific woman in Romans, the 16th chapter. Does God open the door for other aspects of female leadership? What do the Scriptures say? What's your understanding? 866-348-7884. All right, we lost Gene there. Let's go to Bob in Halsey, Oregon. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I think your example of Deborah is a good one. I go to an Anabaptist church, and as you probably know, they have a strong separation of church and state.
Uh-huh.
That there are two different kingdoms.
And so I guess you're not on a big fight for a Second Amendment right to bear arms, huh?
Well, I would be for the United States' kingdom, but as far as a Christian, no, I don't think
got
that
it,
would
got
be
it.
A matter.
Okay, yeah, but that's I'm sorry, I'm getting you off track, but go ahead.
No problem. But in fact, I used to be a police officer, got out of it because I don't believe in the mixing of the kingdoms. As a Christian, I don't think we can do that.
All right.
The question at hand, though, I think if God rose up a leader of the people in the United States and it happened to be a woman, that would be certainly his prerogative, and I don't think there's any restrictions necessarily against it.
Okay.
But in the church, in the kingdom that we have with Christ, I think there is a difference. I think he makes it pretty clear. That's not saying that women don't have a role in ministry. Out of all the times the word preach is used in the New Testament, there's only one that's questionable, whether it's to non-believers. In other words, evangelistic. There was only one episode, and that's when Paul was preaching on the second floor and that lad fell out and died. But every case in the New Testament, that word is specifically talking about people who are not Christians. So evangelistic efforts. And many of those times, that word is used in conjunction with a woman, or women, the daughters of Philip, is it? But
yeah, who prophesy, right? And then you also have in Psalm 68 that the word of the Lord goes forth, and great is the company of those who proclaim it, and that's female. That's a mm-hmm. verse that's often been used to support women preaching. Hey, Bob, I appreciate you calling in. One of these days, we'll bring in some issues that intersect with Anabaptist theology. I think it's a worthy discussion to have about church and state and military and things like that, but appreciate the call. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Zaid in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I'd like to know, but aren't we seeing with the feminization through the feminist movement, are we seeing now like more the dumbing down of men losing leadership in their masculinity, even in the church accommodating
definitely
women in issues of abortion and homosexuality? What do you think?
Yeah, Zaid, that's a very, very important point, and I'm so glad you raised it. Although I do see that God can raise up a woman, as my guest yesterday, and use this woman in senior leadership and to disciple men and so on, I see that God can do it. I don't see that as the general pattern. That's where I'd have a difference with my guest from yesterday. But putting that aside, without question, we are losing the reality of gender distinction and its importance within the body. We are losing the understanding of the role of men and the role of women in the home. We are absolutely seeing a feminizing in the wrong sense, not in the beauty of a woman being a woman, but the feminizing of the church in a negative sense, just like we don't want to masculinize the church. But when you're doing either one, if the church is just macho, you know, to be a Christian is to be macho man and tough and rough and punch me in the face because I'm tough and I can drink more beer than you can, you know, that's as idiotic as trying to make everything soft and feeling and sweet. And one of my friends, a black pastor, sees it a lot in the black church. And this is his perspective as a black pastor, that there's a certain type of preaching and ministry which appeals much more to women. And he said, you've also got a lot of prevalence of homosexuality among black men in the church, leaders and worship leaders. This is his perspective. So there's no question that this is part of a larger social issue that we must address. Go ahead.
May I ask you a quick question? I read a while ago that the churches that started having women as head or as pastors, those churches are now more pro-abortion and more pro-for homosexuality. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe you've done research on that area.
No, I haven't researched it, but I want to just give you a gut-level assumption. There are godly women that I know that are absolutely on the front lines of pro-life movement, that are absolutely on the front lines of standing for family and standing against redefining marriage, etc. And Naomi Dowdy would be one of those, and her church is rock solid on those issues. Others are pastoring and leading it now in Singapore. Rock solid, foundationally solid on those. So some of the strongest voices for life, for morality, for marriage, for family are women, Christian women, without question. My guess would be, though, Zaid, that it's more of a sociological thing, that the churches that tend to be more open to women in ministry often are the ones that are also more open to a liberal interpretation of Scripture, hence pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality. So I would look at it as more as liberalism versus women as the issue. But great points to raise. I got to run. Super points. I appreciate it. Okay, friends, get in the Word. Be students of the Word. Dig into the Scriptures. We want to encourage you to do it. We've partnered with Logos Bible Software. You'll not believe the amount of resources there to dig into the Hebrew, the Greek, the culture, the background, the commentaries, if you're preaching or teaching, the preparation comes out of it. It's amazing how much is there. You can get a 15% discount on any base Bible package, which gives you a great library to start and goes all the way up through massive libraries that would cost you tens of thousands of dollars. You get 15% discount on any base package and any order, large or small, Line of Fire receives 15% from Logos, so you'll be blessed and you're helping us. Go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. You'll see a link to Logos. You can go there and explore, or call 1-800-875-6467, 1-800-875-6467, and mention the Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I have a big question for you. And I'm going to take calls only in answer to this specific question. By nature, by human nature, are women more readily deceived than men? By nature, are women more apt to be deceived than men? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. We have spent an hour and a half discussing the issue of women in ministry. What does Scripture say? And I've done my best to get as many callers weighing in on both sides of the issue and giving my own perspective. But I want to focus things in and narrow them down. We'll be taking more calls on the broader subject, but from here on, I want to focus things on calls coming in to this one question. By nature, are women more apt to be deceived than men? 866-348-7884. I absolutely believe there are differences between men and women by nature. Now, you may have overlap. You may have a man that has many characteristics that a woman has, or a woman has many characteristics that a man has, and then we have things in common as human beings. But by physical nature, generally speaking, a man is bigger and stronger than a woman. That's just the species. That's just how it works. That's the case in most species with most animals. In most cases, the man is bigger than the woman, the male is bigger than the female. And Peter in 1 Peter 3 makes reference to the woman as the weaker vessel. Does he mean physically? Does he also mean spiritually? Is she the weaker vessel? Are women more apt to be deceived than men? The big passage would be 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And I want to give you a few different ways that the chapter could be read. And interestingly, when I was in Hong Kong teaching a couple of weeks ago, I was teaching alongside of Professor Greg Scharf, who was doing a class in homiletics, preaching. And then I was with Professor Bill Mounts, one of the top Greek New Testament scholars, who's got a tremendous commentary on 1 and 2 Timothy. And he's very clear that the Greek is speaking in universal terms. So we got to discuss these passages. But Paul writes, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness," 1 Timothy 2. "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, or kept safe through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." Okay, one way of reading this, Paul is saying this is a teaching for all time based on the order of creation and based on Eve being deceived first, and therefore women more apt to be deceived than men. Another interpretation would be this was cultural. This was an issue of, at that time, women not educated, not trained in the Word of God. And because of that, you needed to put parameters around them so they don't teach and they don't take authority over men. And as an example of women's weakness, he points to Eve being deceived without making a universal statement that all women are more readily deceived than men. Another viewpoint is this just Paul's own opinion. I do not permit a woman to teach. I mean, that's just his opinion, but it's not authoritative. I reject that view, even though others have prayerfully said that's what they've come to, and scholars have come to it, and others through meditation on Scripture have come to it. I see Paul as teaching with apostolic authority here. So don't accept that view. But I think you could make a good argument for the second view, that this was not a universal for all time statement that women are all more readily deceived than men, or by nature, generally speaking, they are. Another question that would come up is, aren't there other issues aside from deception? In other words, aren't men prone to abusive acts, and aren't men also deceived in Scripture? What about all the wrong, corrupt, ugly things that men do? If they're teaching and leading, are they going to harm things? And all the false teachers Paul mentions in the New Testament, aren't they all men? So you know the question. Are women more readily deceived than men?
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Are women more likely to be deceived than men? And is that what Paul was teaching in 1 Timothy, the second chapter? And based on that, should women be less able to teach or lead men? Or is that not the big issue? Paul was just illustrating a point. We continue our discussion of women in ministry, 866-348-7884. Two things real quick, then right to the phones. Number one, we have some really important guests tomorrow that'll be joining us over the course of the broadcast. And during this half hour to which you're listening, we'll have an important guest talking about what's happening with the Boy Scouts and gay bullying of the Boy Scouts. To weigh in on that in advance, to make a call to the Boy Scouts and let your voice be heard, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. And right there in the very first comment, I have an article you should read first and then a number where you can call the Boy Scouts and tell them not to cave in to gay bullying, not to change their current policies. Also, I have an important article I wrote on abortion, hardness of heart and celebration of abortion. Again, same place, AskDrBrown.org, and then click on the Line of Fire and you'll see a link to the article. To the phones, beginning with Ron in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you? My name is Ron.
Yes, sir.
And do I have to answer that one question you put out, or could I go to my topic?
No, well, here's the deal. You were on hold for a while, so yeah. You were the last of the holdovers. So you get to respond to that, and then everybody from here on in is weighing in on the deception. So go ahead, Ron.
All right, great. From the little bit I've been listening, I don't know if this passage was brought up, but in Timothy and in Titus, two times it says if a person desires the office of a bishop, you know, he's talking about a husband of one wife. I mean, it doesn't mean that the person has to be married, but definitely a one-woman's man. So it's mm-hmm. described as a pastor. A pastor is described as a husband of one wife. I believe women are able to be in any facet of ministry, no sweat, if they are godly women, if they are in the Word, no problem. But I believe the Lord designed just two offices strictly for men, especially if it's going to be the leader of a church congregation of mixed men and women, and that is the pastor being a husband of one wife, and likewise deacons also husband of one wife, and that's an office. Phoebe, yes, she was a deaconess, but just remember one thing. Deacon and deaconess, the name of the word means servant. So everyone, in a sense, is a deacon and deaconess, servants of God. But the office that was designed, the Lord designed it for the man in the same fashion that a woman is designed for pregnancy where a man cannot. Well, yep. The Lord designed those two positions, those offices, in a church congregation of mixed men and women.
Yeah, and Ron, just to jump in, of course, those are important points, and I think many listeners would agree with those points in terms of what you're making and the reason for it. Just a super quick response, not a rebuttal, but a response. Some would say the reason he spoke of men in leadership as the husband of one wife, that was the only option then. That was the only thing that would have even been nearly accepted by the society, and only men were qualified at that time. But you could say, hey, that's part of the Bible, right? That's part of the Bible. That's the way it's in there. The deaconess would be a little bit different argument. If I were you, I would major on the senior leader, pastor, bishop argument, because even there in 1 Timothy 3, there's a question, is he talking about deacons' wives, or is he talking about the women? The women are to be worthy of respect because you could have a woman deacon slash servant as well. But Ron, thanks for weighing in. Your points are well taken. Much appreciated. All right. Women in deception. What do you think? Are women more prone to be deceived than men? Is it equal? Do you have examples of men being deceived, women being deceived in Scripture? Is there something about a woman that she's just more touchy-feely, emotional? Or is there something about a woman where she can see through things and a man can't? What do you think? 866-348-7884. Diane in Tampa, Florida, what's your take on the deception issue?
Dr. Brown, my take on it is both are guilty, simply because the Word of God says we are not to put our trust in no man, not even our own heart, because it is very deceptive. And I believe as Christians, now we're talking unbelievers and Christians, unbelievers, they're pretty much wild and they do whatever they want and they deceive one another. Christians are supposed to make a covenant when they come into marriage, a covenant before God, and they're supposed to make a commitment to each other. Even though this day and time that we live in, that isn't working out too well, but if they're truly born-again believers, I believe they're committed to each other for life, and they put a covenant there as God wanted us to be with each other to the end of our days. So really and truly, my thing there is they both are equal, because men look at the appealing things, and they're gullible. Women, on the other hand, they're sneaky, conniving, and deceitful.
Right, so we each have, yeah, and I think you make the good point, Diane, that's the heart of human beings, Jeremiah 17, the heart of human beings in itself, without divine renewal, is desperately wicked. It's self-deceived and desperately wicked. And throughout the Bible, we have warnings to men and women about being deceived. And you have false teachers mentioned in Bible by name that are men, more so than women. Thank you for the comments, Diane. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Patricia, and we lost Patricia. Her take was yes, by the way. She was a yes. Let's go to David in Portland, Oregon. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how's it going, Dr. Brown?
Oh, it's just great over here, man.
my perception is definitely yes. I've been in youth ministry now for almost 10 years. And what I've seen, I mean, we're both guilty. Like, you know, I just heard you quote the Jeremiah passage, which I thought about. But it seems to me like the female part of our society, our Christian society, is just always so willing to please and willing to be accepted. I mean, I even think that a lot of women that get into to leadership, and I'm not against that too much, because my co-leader of our youth group is also a female. But they are so willing to be accepted and so willing to get that acceptance from those around them. They're willing to stretch truth and willing to accept half-truth. You know what I mean?
All right, so you see that more with women. That's interesting. I'm asking for opinions, and I'm asking for folks to weigh in freely. I mean, I find it interesting in that, for example, between Nancy and me, so the woman I know best in this world, as we're about to celebrate 37 years of marriage, she's like a rock, and it doesn't matter if hell freezes over, if she feels something's right or wrong, she's going to stand on it. It doesn't matter if the whole world turns against her. And I'm strong, but she's much stronger in that regard. Like when someone comes to the door and is trying to sell something, sometimes she has to step in to say, no, we're not interested, because she's more firm. But again, it's not to argue your point. It's just to give my observation back. Hey, David, I appreciate you weighing in and keep pouring yourself into young people and old alike. 866-348-7884. Lori in St. We lost Lori. Lori was a no. All right. We'll go to Eileen, Sarasota, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your take on women being deceived more readily than men, or no?
I would say no, because I could say from my perspective, I read the Bible. I read the Torah. I've gone through everything. I even had people who are Muslim who had me listen. You know, they read right next to me their Quran and they had the Bible. We have the Bible, and they are Christians. The point of it is, when you love the Lord with all your heart, like the Bible says, your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you read the Word, and I stand for everything. People can't stand that I stand for everything, but I would say I had more men in my faith who actually didn't read the Bible, but they read it, but they don't. I don't think they hear it because their opinions are so way off that I think if you're with the Lord, it's not that men are bad or women. I think you have to be a little mature. To be honest, you have to be mature because
right.
I'd say everyone who's young, it goes all over the place, and they haven't
right,
learned
right.
yet.
Right, so there's certainly more opportunity for young people to be deceived than older based on lack of experience, lack of wisdom, and everybody has to be on guard. Aren't there many warnings about deception? Didn't Jesus talk to his male apostles and say, don't let anyone deceive you? Don't be deceived. Deception's coming. All right. We will be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, there's a discussion, very lively discussion that's been taking place on my Facebook page about women in ministry. But, you know, those pages just change by the minute. I encourage you instead to go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. And then you can weigh in the comments section there. You can write something at greater length. You can discuss the comments of others there at greater length. So make sure you visit over there. So just another reminder to all my friends in the greater San Diego area. Next week I'm coming your way the 5th through the 8th. Be participating in a think tank truth exchange with Dr. Peter Jones the evening February 8th, the evening of Friday, February 8th, I'll be speaking at the Connection Church on Hyper Grace. That is Friday, February 8th on Hyper Grace. Saturday morning, I will be speaking for dear friends at their Messianic congregation, teaching in the afternoon. Then Sunday morning, speaking at the gathering. You say, well, where do I find out that info? Just go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org and just click on itinerary. Just scroll down to the bottom of the page. Please join me, everyone listening on K-Praise and others in the greater San Diego area by podcast, listening online. Make sure you join me for as many meetings as possible. Okay, I'm going to get two more opinions and then, Andrew, we're done after that. Mark in Reading, Pennsylvania, what's your take on the deception issue?
I believe that women are more easily deceived than men.
All right, and the reason you feel that way?
Well, the reason I feel that way, if we look at just in the book of Genesis with Eve, what happened with her.
Mm-hmm.
We look at in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, even Peter himself lists about five verses, verses 1 for the man on the thing that the woman should do in order for the man and woman to have a successful marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Apostle Paul talks in the book of Timothy about all the things that a woman should do. She should be a woman who's a childbearer, who's sober, who is holy, and in order for her to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long list of things that women have to do. I just believe women are more sensitive in the spirit. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But more sensitive in all spiritual things. So they have to be careful
they
not be deceived.
Right. So the application, your position, especially that last point, would be that women are quicker to pick up on spiritual things, which means for good or for bad. They can,
right.
Eve was deceived, but the women were the first ones that recognized Jesus had risen from the dead. Whereas men are slower to respond and can take a while to get it, but would have a greater chance of stability versus deception. That would be the argument and the thought. Mark, I appreciate you weighing in very much. God bless you, brother. 866-348-7884. Denise in Lumberton, New Jersey. You've got a different perspective. What's yours?
Hi, this is my first time being on the show. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I believe that women are definitely not easier to be deceived than men. I think it's we are the weaker vessel, but I believe that he was speaking in the way that we're built as in comparison to men. I believe that depending on who you are and the way you stay in God's word and God's word abides in you, that he will as you grow as a Christian, man or woman, it will sharpen your discernment, and you will be able to discern good and evil. Mm-hmm. Not that you'll be quick to be deceived, because as a woman, I know that even with relationships, we are the ones to decide whether yay or nay, you know, ultimately. So we have to be slow to, you know, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, but we have to be slow in what we do. But I think it mainly depends on our discernment being sharpened, and that depends on how much you stay in God's Word. Because like you were saying about your wife, I'm the one that is, he's usually, and I'm the one to say no.
Uh-huh. Yeah, understood. Right, certain amount of backbone. Got it. Hey, Denise, I got to run, but I appreciate the call very much. Thank you for weighing in. Can't take any more calls today. Let me make a few general statements, okay? Number one, on the issue of women in ministry and roles, calling, really study these things out in Scripture. Continue to dig. Because ultimately, you have to give account to God for what you believe and why you believe it. And for some, this is more relevant than for others. I just want to urge you to do your best to humble yourself before the Word and not to try to subconsciously make the Word fit your presuppositions or experiences in whatever direction they might go. All right? That's the first thing. The second thing, I believe it's very important for the church to recognize gender distinction, unique aspects of men, unique aspects of women, and how that plays itself out, particularly in the home, and for us to model that in a godly way for society. I also want to emphasize that deception is possible for every one of us, regardless of your take on the question of women being more easily deceived. All human beings are readily deceived if we don't walk in humility before God, if we don't submit ourselves to the Word of God, if we put ourselves in unaccountable positions of life and ministry, if we play games with sin in our lives, if we don't heed the warnings of the Word and the Spirit, and on, any of us can easily be deceived, and therefore we need to constantly humble ourselves before God, not with fear of deception, but honoring the one who keeps us strong. It's a very important broadcast tomorrow, and as well, it's a very special guest joining us Thursday, so I'm excited about the program in the next couple of days. And of course, Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. So by all means, join us. Tell your friends about the broadcast. As many listeners as we do have, I'm sure there's so many folks who don't even know the broadcast exists. Tell your friends. And as a way to help you dig into the Scriptures, as a way to help you get more and more into the Word, we have partnered with Logos Bible Software, kind of a win-win situation for them, for you, and for us. When you use the Line of Fire code, when you call the order or order through the website and use Line of Fire, actually Line of Fire 5 coupon code, you get a 15% discount on any base package you get. So any entry-level package which starts you with a substantial library, you'll get 15% off, which amounts to a good amount of money. And on any order, small or large, Logos gives us 15% commission. So everyone's blessed in the process, and you will find no finer Bible software to use with over 27,000 ebooks available in their libraries. Call right now 1-800-875-6467, then mention Line of Fire 5 for the code. 1-800-875-6467. That's if you know what you want to order, want to dive in, 1-800-875-6467. Or if you just need to explore and find out what's available, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. And click on the online bookstore. You'll see a link. You can click on the link. You can go directly to the logo site. Just make sure you use the code so we benefit and you benefit together. And let us be students of the Word of God. My bottom line today, deception is a real threat to those who walk in pride, to those who play games with sin, to those who neglect the Word, to those who say, deception could never happen to me.